I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast. This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 413. You don't have to be the guy in the commercial.
Welcome to another episode of Electric Sisterhood. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we've got a brand spanking new podcast episode for you this week. Oh, Panda.
What?
How are you?
I am swell. I'm full of food. Oh, I had a cornucopia, a horn of plenty.
Tryptophanomania.
I went to my local shanty for some pub brew.
No, you went to the shanter.
The shanter.
You went to the shanter.
For some Der Strimmers.
For the Der Strimmers.
Because I'm of age to be drinking.
Yes. And that's really for the best.
Yes.
Because underage drinking is illegal. Bad.
What about you, sis? How are you?
I'm good. You know, I still like stuffed to the brim from Thanksgiving. So, you know, won't be eating anything of like mad substance for a while, other than leftovers because, yeah, mac and cheese, that's what's up.
Yep, you're welcome.
Hey, stuffing, you're welcome.
Yeah, I know. There were thanks to be had on both sides.
There were thanks to be had and thanks given.
Ah, see what you just did.
I see what you did there. Yeah, that was really good. We clapped.
Thank you.
So all in all, it's been a pretty good week. Plus, I've gotten time to game because my backlog is like ridiculous. I've actually given up on a couple of titles just because I have to. So, Grand Theft Auto 5 on the new consoles is going to have to wait.
I will remember you.
Got to wait a little bit longer.
Sha-na-na-na-na.
Oh, okay, Sarah McLachlan. So it's been a good week, you know? My game thumb, unfortunately, is re-injured. But
you need to calm it down.
I can't. There's so many games.
I know. That's what happens in Broke Bits.
I still haven't put my hands on Sunset Overdrive.
That's right. I have.
You know, I haven't played much Halo Master Chief Collection.
I
because
have.
Most people haven't played a lot of Master Chief Collection.
No.
Unless you're playing the solo campaign.
And I'll talk to you about that because I've played some.
I'm going to try to get on the solo campaign this week. But I've mostly just been playing, in all honesty,
Destiny. It sounds like a Destiny Unity sandwich.
Then I watched a bunch of anime.
Okay.
Because what do you do when you don't have Saturday morning cartoons anymore?
You eat a Klondike bar.
Okay, after the Klondike bar, though.
You take a nap.
Okay, after the nap, though.
You eat a pizza.
No, you watch anime. Then
you order the pizza while watching anime.
Correct. So that way you have anime interrupted.
I never want pizza.
With pizza. So it's been a really good week. I'm getting caught up on a lot of things, and that's really important because I've been like so overwhelmed between like life, day job things, and then my addiction to Destiny. Which
you're
addicted
to Destiny.
I am, but like in the good way. I love the group of people that I play the game with. They're so collaborative.
Sometimes it's me.
Sometimes it is you, but, you know, I'm in a clan, and they're really, really collaborative, and they really want to get everybody to 30, so they're constantly putting groups together to run the
raid. I remember guild life.
Seriously, and so...
You were looking for group, and you found group.
I found group. I found the right group, too, which is awesome. They get my jokes, and they put up with me playing the raid with them when I'm drunk, and so, like, that's love. That's love and acceptance.
Back in my Warcraft days, you didn't play if you were drunk.
Because you can fuck shit things up in the vault of glass when you're drunk. And they accepted me anyway and basically said, oh, we're going to cheese Athion, so just hide in the corner and dance. And I was like, okay. So I'm dancing like, that's how you do it. Like, they were so appreciative. And I basically ended up being past lead so everybody could jump out and jump back in so they could cheese Athion. Because there is still a cheese that works. And
is it Monterey Jack?
No, it's more like a Brie. It's Gouda? More like a Gouda.
Okay.
Not so much a Brie.
All right.
But it's still good cheese. So the last go around.
That makes me think of that thing. Cream cheese is made of these.
Stop it.
Am I to disagree?
Anyway, but they were able to get it done in like 5 tries. The communication, I was drunk. So, I don't remember most of it. But I gotta say, I'm so glad that, like, Bungie didn't take this cheese out. Because it's not like cheesing Athion is actually really easy. It takes a lot of collaboration, work, making sure that people have, like, the right grenades. And they know where they need to be and where they need to position him. And if he's not where he needs to be, that everybody just dies so you can wipe and start again. And everybody can start with their full stuff leveled. There's a lot of, like, team collaboration. It's still work to cheese Athion.
No shit.
So I'm glad that they didn't take the second cheese out.
I love double cheese.
And what's really funny is the Bungie team has a couple of promos for the Dark Below, the new DLC that's coming out on 12/9.
It's the album from Outkast that never came out.
Like, for real? For word for word. But, what's really funny is that their latest, like, promo videos, they have a personality now.
Who has a personality?
No, in the commercials, in the thing. It's a player called Dr.
Drippy. Strangelove?
No, Dr. Drippy or Dr. Something 93. I can't remember.
Ugh.
And,
93. Baby.
It's basically, like, if Nathan Fillion had a younger brother who was talking about Destiny,
okay.
That's basically who the guy is. So he's showing off some of the exotic gear that you can get by doing and running through the new DLC. And so he's showing off, like, his new hotness and things like that.
Old talking and busted, shit. New hotness.
Exactly. And there's a line in one of them. He's like, yeah, you see this gun? He's like, I ain't get this in no stupid loot cave. And he's like blowing stuff up. He goes, got other stuff in the loot cave. But I ain't get this in the loot cave. And I'm like, oh, see, I like that. They're giving the nod to the loot cave. They're not destroying the loot caves necessarily. Hat tip, like that. Also love some of the new guns. And one of the ones they were showing off. Does 900 rounds a minute?
What?
Yeah.
That's a lot of rounds.
It's a hell fight auto rifle.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it would stab him in the face.
Is it a pulse rifle?
No, it's an auto rifle.
Okay.
At 900 rounds a second, it's got to be an auto rifle. There's no way that that's a scout rifle. And if that's a scout rifle, or what it pulses 900 rounds,
Or burst. Wait, no. We don't have burst. We have fusion, pulse, and
auto. Yeah. So, the new weapons definitely look fantastic. They talked about the new raid, and, you know, going in, fucking shit up, getting out.
Right.
Which is always a good time.
Eat, sleeve, rave, repeat.
Exactly. And, so that'll be going down. So, I'm really looking forward to the new DLC and running through that with, my team. They're an amazing, amazing group of guys and girls, to hang out with. So, that I'm trying to get my two characters ready for, because my body is ready except for my thumb.
Your body's saying yes, but your thumb, say no.
Please, God, no. Please. So, but what's really funny, and the reason why I've been going back and forth between Destiny and Unity, is I find that if I game with my Xbox controller, when my thumb starts hurting, because I bruise the knuckle on my thumb playing Destiny, if I play with the Xbox controller for like an hour or an hour and a half, the clicky, hurty, stiff pain goes away and the knuckle doesn't hurt as much. So it's definitely how I hold the PlayStation controller.
And you have baby hands.
I do. It's just not comfortable. It's just not comfortable. Where it rests on my thumb, I've tried taking off my jewelry, all that kind of stuff doesn't help. So that doesn't matter. I'm fucking hardcore. I play through the pain. I also play through the alcohol.
Because you're not a bitch.
I'm not a bitch. So last time I ran through the raid with the guys, they were able to choose Zathion, and I still haven't gotten any raid gear on either of my characters, but I did get like a shit ton of ascendant materials and stuff, so I finally like beasted out.
I still need fusion rifles for my exotic quest. I need 3 more.
You can do it. I have to PvP and not die, so I'm screwed. I'm never getting Thorn.
I will remember you. Sha-na-na-na-na.
Thank you. So that's all the Destiny talk I have for right now. Guess what? It's going to go on for as long as I play this game, guys.
Which is forever.
Accept it. Yeah, because I don't see me not playing Destiny.
I don't see you not playing Destiny either.
It's not happening.
It's your destiny to play Destiny.
Like, I literally almost called you the other night to be like, hey, what are you doing? And if you said nothing, I was like, we'll play Destiny once I'm stressed.
I was playing Dragon Age Inquisition because finally I decided to get out of the Hinterlands, which I didn't talk about that much in the last episode.
Yes.
But I'm still in the start. I was in the start area. I hadn't moved across the map yet. So, like, I still hadn't done, like, level 4 missions in other places because I've been just doing the stuff in my area.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me at least see what's going on. So now I'm actually getting into the story and meeting other characters that I can possibly,
bang.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't met Iron Bull yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did.
Are you gonna bang the bull?
Well, that's the thing.
I just saw your face. You're gonna bang the bull.
Well, because then I decided to look on the internet to see one of the ways you get romanced by him. Iron Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a dude,
mm-hmm.
It probably plays both ways if you're a chick or a dude. But the one I saw was with an elf dude who obviously was banging the bull, and he's laying on his like bed area like naked. And all the other companions start rolling up and see him, like, sprawled out all naked. And conveniently, things are placed so you can't see what he's packing.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone makes the comment of, whoa, like, what is that? And it's all like, looks like someone's about to take it. And then Iron Bull goes, he or she is like, he's the one who's taking it. And I'm like, oh, in the butt? And like, whoa, like, totally hot machismo, like, oh, I like that butter. Put that all over my popcorn, please. And I was like, ooh. So now I'm thinking I might have to I might have to ride the bull.
All right. Well, there you go.
So
you're here first. Panelist, she's going to ride the bull.
I'm going to ride the bull. All
right.
But outside of my dragon aging, like I said earlier, I have done some time in Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah. So talk to me about that, because Sunset is still on my list of, like, I want to play, but also my Xbox One is currently at 84% capacity, so until I get an external drive so I can use that as storage, which I'm still not exactly sure how I'm going to do that, because I'm pretty sure, as far as my entertainment system goes, I'm all plugged up, so I have to figure out exactly what is not going to be plugged so that the drive can be plugged. Yeah, I don't.
You got Bayonetta. You played it. Your Wii U currently has served its purpose.
This is true.
It could take a hiatus until something else comes out that you want to play.
It could go on hiatus until there's something that I desperately needed to play. You do have an accurate point there.
I'm pretty smart sometimes.
You're pretty smart more times than you give yourself credit for.
Like 70% of the time, I am smart all the time.
I'm not going to disagree with that statement.
Sex Panther, but for brains.
Brain
Panther! Anyway, so yeah, let me talk a little bit about Sunset Overdrive. So, when I first saw the announcement for it and the teaser that they dropped at E3, I literally remember texting you, because you were out of that E3, I was not, and I'm like, I'm getting it. Now I'm getting the next bone. Because for a while there, I was pretty content with my PS4, I wasn't...
Actually, for a while there, you were pretty adamant that there was no need for you to get an X-Bone. You're really satisfied with your 360, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing that could come out with
that would make me want
to get an Xbox.
And then I saw that, and then I saw the Escape from Dead Island, I'm like, shit, they got me.
Yeah, and then I texted you back after I finished my live blog post about Ori, because Ori looked amazeballs.
Yes, they're gonna get my money. So, I was planning to get the bundle with the white X-Bone.
And I told you.
You told me to be proactive, and I didn't, and then I lost the opportunity. But fate had another plan for me.
Oh, did?
Yep.
Are you sure it was fate?
Because my Biffle, who had no desire to get an X-Bone, saw, because I showed him the exact same thing that I had seen for Sunset Overdrive, and he was like, I'm going to get it. And then 2 days later, via Amazon Prime, the bundle arrived.
Don't you just love Amazon Prime?
I love people who have Amazon Prime. I do. So that's how I got my hands on it. Here's what I have to say off the jump.
It is fun
to play. And it's, if you liked playing Lollipop Chainsaw, which is Suda 51, which is a totally different, this is Insomniac Games who do Sunset Overdrive, and I know Suda 51 did Lollipop Chainsaw, and like No More Heroes and stuff like that, and it's highly stylized.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
But
in the same vein
as Lollipop Chainsaw, it's a little janky.
Janky how?
It's a little janky. Okay, so the whole...
Janky, like,
so the whole
repetitive,
vibe,
or like...
Well, no, like, the whole... but most games have an element that it's
right.
Repeated. But generally, where I'm having the issue is, I mean, the whole theme is kind of like, you know, it's obviously post-apocalyptic because shit goes down, which I'll explain when I talk about the plot. And your character, who is not the dude from The Thing, because you can customize your own...
The dude from The Thing?
The dude from the commercials.
Thank you.
In the game. The one that they show in the trailer who you thought was, like, your character... You can customize your character, so you don't have to be that guy.
Okay.
You can be whoever you want to be, really, except they're all super fit and muscular or like Nicki Minaj buddy, kind of.
Okay.
But anyway. So the whole theme is, you know, obviously post-apocalyptic, but also has this weird, not so weird, but, like, hipster, surfer, skater kind of vibe.
Okay.
Which is fine. There's punk music everywhere. It's all kind of, that's a little generic, but, like, I'll let that go because I don't make music.
Punk Jet Set Radio?
Kind of.
Okay.
So a lot of the elements is because it's third-person shooting, and you're shooting the OD, which is the people who have drinking the Overdrive, which is the soda that drove everybody pretty much nuts. And turn them into mutants and stuff.
Soda is the devil!
Yes, especially in this game. But, so a lot of your elements require you to be grinding on rails.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and the element seems very skaterish, except you're doing it with your shoes. There's nothing on your shoes that would cause the grind to happen. So it's like a magical grind that you can do.
Because you're a magical grind person.
Like, but everyone can do it. But I mean, like, so you're grinding on this rail, and you'd think when you get to the end of the rail that, like, you would stop. And it theoretically does, but the minute you hop on the rail, then you follow that path unless you turn yourself around.
So it's constant, perpetual motion.
Yes, all the time.
Okay.
Which is not necessarily the bad thing, but if you don't grasp that at the jump, you're not going to hit those combos. And, you know, and I'm a combo whore. Essentially, like from Bayonetta, like I like to learn combos. I like, you know, if it's highly stylized, you're putting all the effort for me to look really good. I want to look really good.
Right. It's just like, you know, in Devil May Cry, trying to get as many stylish or super stylish rankings as you could.
And a lot of the mapping of the controls are mapped onto the same button. So when I'm trying to, while I'm grinding off of a rail and I want to switch direction, It's the triggers, your right and left trigger. And one will put you upright on the rail, and the other one will put you down. Kind of like a Booker DeWitt type of thing.
So it gets skyhook?
Kind of, sort of, except it's with your feet, unless you have, like, a crowbar, and then use the crowbar. There's a lot of interesting elements, but I feel like they're all really too close in the mapping.
Okay.
For me to feel my groove to layer on those combos effectively.
If you're using or reusing similar buttons to do the same thing, do you find that sometimes you, or more times than not, you misfire on what you intended to do?
The thing I want to do is not the thing that my character does.
And that's the janky?
And that's where the janky is. And because you're on rails a lot, they don't mind if you're going to do any action or fighting on the ground. But all of their money, everything that they spent on it to do in terms of, you know, your combos and stuff, all requires you to be grinding on these rails. So they always are trying to find a way that you have to be grinding.
Okay.
And you kind of
always be grinding.
You lose your momentum when you're on the ground. Okay. Some of the weapons seem really cool. I'm not too far in, but I've already unlocked certain weapons that have homages to pop culture. Like I've got a frisbee gun that's called... No, I have a record gun called High Fidelity.
Okay.
I have.
I'm still waiting for that movie to be good. Go ahead.
I have a gun, like a pistol, called the Dirty Harry.
Okay.
And, like, so they all have something to do with a reference. In terms of characterization, which we all know, character creation, I love it in my games.
The deeper character creation is, I find, the more apt I am to spend time on a game.
Yeah. And they do give you that option, and eerily enough, and I don't want to, it's not eerie, this is a
thumbs up. Did you make Aisha Tyler again?
No, but as I was looking through the lady options, the black people look really good.
What?
Like, the black people...
Wait, do the black people look like black people?
And they're really hot. Like, they're...
What?
Like...
They're not stereotypical black person bee?
Mm-mm. No.
Yay!
Like, they have really nice, like, lotion skin, but not too oily.
Okay, so
like,
they're not...
Like, you know, they use Aveeno...
Right, right.
...on them elbows
and they're not
knees.
Using baby oil.
Right, no.
Okay.
No. Nice. And, like, and the styles are very hip and retro. Like, they actually have two different types of afros.
What?
Yeah, dude.
It's not just the Q-tip?
No. There was one that's like a jungle mane of curl fro, like when your hair is like freshly done,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a mane. It's gorgeous, and I like that. And they actually made like the white people not as nice looking, like they made them like alabaster white, like. And I'm like, if you're over in Cali. You're not this pale.
Well, you are that pale. It's just that you go tanning a lot to not be that pale in public.
So, a little janky on some of the controls due to the mechanic that they're trying to force you to do because that's where the high style is.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing of the fights, because they want you to be up in the air all the time, fights, for me, have lasted longer because I didn't understand that that's where the cadence of the fight was. Like, I thought I could just get down on the ground and just shoot you in the face. But that's clearly not what they want me to do as the player. So let me talk a little bit about the story, as far as I know it.
So what's the story?
So you are an awesome person, male or female.
Obviously, because you can grind whether you're...
Like, and you when you first start the game...
Or not.
When you start the game, you are running from the OD. And at this point, they haven't explained what has caused... the issue.
Okay.
And you're like, I have to get away from those things. Not that I even know what they are. I don't even know where I'm going. I didn't even know I could parkour because you parkour everywhere.
Okay.
It's kind of your thing. So you're learning your controls.
Parkour.
And it's like, man, get to your apartment, which is like way on top of this building that you can't just go through the front door. You literally have to climb it like Spider-Man while avoiding these things because you have nothing to fight with yet. And then this random old guy who's like a lumber sexual, like has a beard, has like the flannel.
Uh-huh.
Plaid shirt.
Yeah.
He's like, let me give you this. Let's see if you've got the chops. And you're like, old dude, what are you talking about? And it's all like, I'm testing you. Kill those with this. And you're like, I can't shoot people. But then, of course, you shoot people because that's what you do.
Right.
And you manage to learn how to use the rails then and get an idea of how to possibly shoot while you're moving. There is a slow time mechanism that they get for certain guns that allow you to slow time so you can line up your shots, but not all guns give you the option to do that. And when you finally get to your apartment, you know, you get in there, you barricade yourself, and then you have dreams of what happened. So, Overdrive is this soda in this bright orange can. It kind of reminded me of Surge.
Uh-huh. But orange?
Like Surge was like green. Monster, Surge, like all those. Four Loko. It's like orange Four Loko.
It's orange Four Loko. Okay, yeah.
And, like, it's got massive marketing. It's all over your town. And you have a job. And you're a janitor for this company that puts out Overdrive.
Yep.
And, like, you're at this big, fun, like, big promotional thing where they're just throwing out T-shirts and these boobies, and people are just throwing cans at you, and you're just, like, sweeping them up, and you're just there for your paycheck. Like, you ain't even trying to feel what's going on, and people are kind of being a douche to you. And then all of a sudden, you see people cracking things open and drinking them, and then there are screams. And then, like, things start turning orange. And then people are, like, scratching at themselves, and they're, like, mutating, and... Everyone starts turning into these OD. That's what they call them. And pretty much there's something in the drink that is pretty much stripping away all of your molecular stuff that makes you human. And it turns you into essentially Overdrive. You're like a walking blob of Overdrive. And you are addicted to the stuff. So, like, they went after the whole soda factory. Mm-hmm. And, like, and you actually use Overdrive to sometimes lure a big chunk of them to an area so you can do this high stylish, like, bomb thing. Mm-hmm. And since everything has gone to shit, like, there's no electricity, it's pretty much like Borderlands, but not in space, on a different planet. And everyone's kind of a hipster. Everyone's a hipster, even you. And
so Borderlands, not in space,
plus hipsters,
plus Four Loko Orange.
Yeah, essentially. Okay. And pretty much what you're doing, kind of in the same vein of Dead Rising, which is also a zombie apocalyptic game. Not that these guys are zombies, but you are traveling around your city trying to find other caches of people. You know, you're beating the OD and getting cans, because cans are part of the currency, to buy weapons and stuff, and money is for clothes. And certain clothes give you certain boosts. Not all of them, but some.
Okay.
So where I'm at in my game, I saved this boy, this dude, who's kind of from a preppy high school type deal, and he is just like, I'm gonna die, and, like, I come out of nowhere and, like, kick butt, and he's all like, I'm in love, and, like, it's slow pans, like, it's very cheesy, it's definitely pandering to, you know, you as the player, because, like, you want to be stoked, you want that fire stoked until you realize he's, like, a giant nerd, and, like, he's like, no, he's like, I'm from this school with all these popular rich kids, and, like, I'm looking for a propeller for a glider right now. And he's like, no, there are some people that are over in my little area, like, they're, like, geniuses, and, like, they could make you one. So, like, I'm now in this new area with these people who are all, like, snobby, and, like, I have to appease all of them so I can finally convince them to build me this propeller that I need for another thing. And it's really, I feel like all those 90 and 80 references that I've used on the show or tried to and have butchered.
Yeah.
And that you've used appropriately in your entire life have all been put into a giant mega blender, put on puree, frozen, and then served in, like, giant red Solo cups with umbrellas in them for us to enjoy.
That's classy.
It is a fun game. It's got high energy. I don't mind the generic pop music. I know some people like punk music. We're expecting, you know, copyright actual songs in there. No way. Do I feel that the hype justifies the bundle? Where I'm at right now, I'm actually going to say no.
Well, let's talk about bundles for a hot second, because I think that, like, that's one thing that we haven't talked about yet for holiday.
Surprisingly enough.
I'm not impressed with, like, any of the bundles that are currently out there for any of the systems. And not that the games aren't good or that the price points aren't decent, because they are. But I'm just like, at this point, if you don't have a console yet, it's because you weren't able to afford one, you're going to be more attracted to the right price point and not necessarily swayed by the games that are being bundled. Because there is the Sunset Overdrive bundle. You can't get your hands on the white one. It's so backordered, it's ridiculous. But there is a black Xbox bundle with Sunset that you can get. There's an Assassin's bundle that gives you Black Flag and Unity. And it also gives you Dance Central Spotlight.
Yep.
Which, you know, isn't bad at all.
Right.
But as we've talked about before, Unity has some issues. So that may not be a mover necessarily for somebody for holiday.
True.
At this point. Then you've got, on the PlayStation side, you've got bundles with GTA. You also have can't remember if there's a GTA bundle for Xbox One.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if it's for Xbox One, but I saw one for the PS4.
Yeah, I know the PS4 has a GTA 5 bundle, but I don't know if the Xbox One has a GTA 5 bundle. But you've got a bundle with Knack still, which Knack is a really great game, but, you know, I start thinking, then you got the Assassin's bundle, and then you've got, you still have the Destiny bundle, which you've got that available on both platforms. But I feel like anybody that was going to jump on the Destiny bundle has already jumped on the Destiny
bundle.
You're
right.
I don't think that that's like a mover, again, for holiday. You know, so I'm just kind of like, you know, last year it seemed to me like there were some really great bundles of two games or more, or at least a game and two digital download games. And, you know, the price break wasn't huge, but there'd already been a reduction in price by the time it happened that was significant that really made boxes move last holiday. I don't really feel like that overwhelmed. Like, I was looking at a couple of different ones for Black Friday and thinking, you know, if I didn't have a system right now, would I be like, fuck yeah, I'm getting a system today based off of this bundle with this game? And I was like, no, there's not one out there. There just really isn't. Like,
right.
And that's kind of surprising to me because this holiday's got to be really important. Like, the only one I could come up with that, like, probably would have moved me if I didn't already have one was the Smash Brothers bundle for the Wii U.
Okay.
With the Amiibos.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's people love them Amiibos. And I heard Loot Crate joined up to do some releases in the Loot Crate.
Yeah, the Loot Crate thing, though, it's not really that great of a deal. But if you
want... No, I'm just saying they worked out a deal.
Yeah, they did. So you can get Amiibo Loot Crate bundles now, where you're guaranteed an Amiibo figure in your Loot Crate box. And there are two different tiers that you can get. You can get a couple months, or you can get a full run that'll give you 10 or 12 Amiibo characters for the game total, and guarantee that they won't send you the same Amiibo twice.
Okay, I was about to ask you about that, actually.
And so that... Because that's really important. And I think I can't remember, so I'm not going to say it because I don't want to speak out of turn, but, you may want to do some research because I think that there's an Amiibo that you'll be able to get exclusively for a little bit through the loot boxes, that'll eventually be available for, purchase by everyone. So it's kind of like Disney Infinity figures. There are some that you can only get when you go to, like, an event, and then, like, a month later, they'll be able for purchase. Oh,
it's
the Hulk.
It's like the same thing, like, with Pokemon. One of the big things is they'll have Wi-Fi events where you have to go into a GameStop to download to be able to get a special Pokemon that you wouldn't be able to use in tournaments or anything like that. But still, it's kind of cool to have. I've done those.
Yeah. So, kind of like that, but you still get all the other awesomeness in your loot box, so you still get t-shirts and all that other kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. I didn't change my loot box thing over just because I really don't have an overriding reason to play Smash Brothers right now.
Right.
I have three friends on the Wii U, and playing Smash Brothers against them, in all honesty, not a big draw, and I think only one of them has Smash Brothers at this point, so... you know, but again, I've always said since we started talking about the Wii U on this podcast, I bought it for Bayonetta. I've beat Bayonetta twice.
There you go.
I'm good. The itch has been scratched.
So there you go. Like, so you could easily retire it.
I could easily retire it for, you know, well, hiatus, not retire. I wouldn't disconnect it completely, but I'd probably power it down until I had a reason to turn it back on. Either I wanted to play Bayonetta again. Or something else really remarkable was coming out on the Wii U to play it. But, yeah, the Wii U bundle was the only one that I was kind of like, yeah, if I didn't already have one, that would probably motivate me to buy one today. So I'm interested in everything that you had to say about Sunset, because even with the kind of jankiness going on,
like, it's still high energy and it's fun and it's entertaining.
And that's the thing that's, like, important about a game, is, like, it really needs to be fun. And so if it's got jankiness and you can overlook the jankiness because it's that much more fun.
I'm just saying that if you're one to get mad when you know what you wanted to do and the game doesn't do what you want to do.
Not the game for you.
Not the game for you. Or at least not through the beginning parts. I mean, if you're someone who can watch somebody else play and get the hang of it and then pwn, that might be more the avenue. But it is fun. It is high energy. It looks beautiful.
I mean, and I enjoy the humor. There isn't anything on the Xbox One that doesn't look good.
Right. So that's what I'm going to say about that. Since we're still in the vein of games, let me talk a little bit about the Master Chief Collection.
Okay. You're okay.
Yeah. So, once again, thanks to the Biffle, I've had the option to play this. And I'm gonna tell you guys something that I'm sure some of you didn't know. Actually, I'm sure a lot of you guys didn't know because I never volunteered.
Are you about to say that you didn't play Halo because you already said that on the last podcast?
Oh, so. Okay. So then, never mind. Yeah, I had never picked up the Halo game.
You already said that!
I shouldn't say that because I got Reach, but I never got past the...
Reach doesn't count.
But I'm just saying, I have Reach, but I didn't get past the homage to Star Fox in it. because I like being in planes and shooting and starships mm-hmm. and stuff, mm-hmm. but I never really beat that, so I never really played a Halo game, and the Biffle decided that we were going to change that by playing the Master Chief Collection, which, once again, I'm going to preface what they've done to remaster it. It looks nice. Now, he's all excited, and he's pumped, and I'm just like, you know, and they give you the option to play it the way that it looked initially or mm-hmm. in the high res.
Yep.
So you could, and you could toggle between missions what you wanted it to look like, which he did often. And, and
it sounds like you did. I appreciate that.
Well, because, you know, like for me, who's never played the game at all, like this is nostalgia for him. So every time he'd go back to the original, he's like, yeah, that's what it looked like. And I'm like, great. Okay, can we shoot things now? Like, and the control scheme, you know, because it's they're mapping it the way that they did the original Xbox game, so mm-hmm. it's not how I'd expect it to shoot. And so, I mean, I appreciate it, but, like, I'm not loving it the way he... But he played them all. Right. So, like, this is nostalgia road for him, and this is
and
first exposure for me.
And that's what the Master Chief Collection was supposed to be. A walk down nostalgia for Halo fans before
Yeah,
five.
But... So that's all well and good, but
yeah.
And we've only made it to the fourth chapter of the first game, and it's weird because it will show the save file because I've put my Xbox Live thing through him, so it's like I have an X-Bone, and I've got all the achievements, but he doesn't have them, and it has his save file from the first chapter, my save file from the second, and we're playing co-op-ly because, you know, we're cooping it, and it's weird that it doesn't show both of us having it played. So, like, there are some issues in it. And not to mention, also, multiplayer is not playable.
Correct.
Which is one of the big pulls that people were excited for this collection to come out for.
It's like I said that before.
I think you might have, like,
a week ago.
And, I mean, I'm playing on Heroic because... He wants to give me a challenge, and he dies more than I do, because I don't know what I'm really doing. I'm just looking for the things to shoot. The reticles are a little off for me, and I don't know if that's just because I'm so used to having, like, a red pin, or a different type of reticle, and, like, these feel a little weird to me. And, like, we're playing them all.
Yep.
And we play split screen, because obviously that's how you coop it.
Yep.
And... We've been struggling to get through the chapters because there's something about the split screen that when we start playing, after 15 minutes of play, I fall asleep.
Yeah, no, split screen's really difficult for me to play unless it's an enormous screen. And by enormous, I mean, like, at least
I've never fallen asleep while playing a game, and I'll be playing and I'll be watching.
I'm not playing a game. Well, I have fallen asleep, but I was drunk. But split screen specifically, because I find that it's very difficult unless the screen or the viewing area that I'm looking at is super large. I tend to get lost between looking and being focused on my side of the screen and the other player's side of the screen, because I'm so used to having a single screen all to myself, right, that unless I have a space that takes up like a single screen, I get lost. And in visually getting lost, I get tired. I know exactly the feeling you're talking about. It's the split screen. It's not the game. It's the split screen.
You know, and because the first few times it was happening to me, I was just like, you know, he's like, you know, we don't have to do it. I'm like, no, I want to play it because I want to understand the hype. I'm like, I don't know why I keep getting tired when I play this. And I think it's because of all the motion on the screen. So I don't have a problem honing on because I'm on the bottom of the screen and he's on the top. But like when... Mm-hmm. Ha, funny. You're funny. I saw what you did there. But when we're playing and I'm looking at my screen, I will occasionally find myself looking up, and he's somewhere completely different from where I am, and he seems to be moving faster than me. But then again, he knows the game. He knows where he needs to be going. And I mean, I'm just exploring at my own pace. And at a certain point, if you're not with, when you're cooping, if you're not with your partner and they've hit a checkpoint, it automatically teleports you to wherever they are.
Yep, same thing in Destiny.
So, like,
unless you're playing the Nightfall. If you're playing the Nightfall and people get ahead of you, it kills everybody and kicks you out to orbit and makes you start all over again.
So there are constant times that I'm, like, looking through things and, like, trying to get a sense of stuff, and it would pull me to where he was because he was killing enemies. And, like, the constant pull and the constant me searching, my brain is,
well,
like...
Well, that's just you guys not communicating while you're cooping.
Yeah. So, but I found myself, like, falling asleep, like, hypnotically, like, getting tired, feeling the sluggish thing happen.
It's a split screen.
And I was worried it was Halo.
No, it's a split screen.
I was like, no! But when you're cooping, I love couch cooping. It's nice to be back in it, to be able to do that. And to go through this journey with him, I just hope, one, I can stay awake long enough to really enjoy all the games.
Drink some 4 Loko. Oh, wait, you might OD, never mind.
Yeah, I would probably,
yeah. You want to keep 4 Loko.
So, I mean, for nostalgia's sake alone, people who have been clamoring for this game, they're like, heartbroken. Like, over the multimedia thing more than anything else.
Because the thing that makes Halo really fun is the multiplayer. The single-player campaign was always good and solid, but it was the multiplayer that was killer. And that's what made it a kingmaker for the console. And to have that be busted in your nostalgia game that was supposed to be your battle cry for this is for the fans, that's a really hard
that's
thing.
That's a slap to the face.
It's, and, you know, they're working really hard on it, but, you know, it's just very weird to be in holiday and have two major games have major, major issues that are still being worked on, and both devs involved doing massive mea culpas and makeups. Like, this week, Ubisoft put out their apology to the community for the things that were not right with Unity launching. You know, they're supposedly working on a very big patch that is supposed to fix a lot of these things. I think I mentioned it before really lightly, but it's supposed to address some of the issues with the multiplayer. It's supposed to fix some of the save things that have gone wrong, that have bricked people's games and they had to start over. It's supposed to fix the Uplay connectivity, so initiates things, actually keeps track of your gameplay correctly and gives you the proper initiates level, so you can, in fact, open those gold fucking chests that you come across. And it's also supposed to fix some of the issues between the companion app and the main game, which I'm still a component of. They need to divorce the chests from those external things. They just
need to amicably separate.
They do. But I do think it was very interesting. They sent out an email and they put out a, they published a notice on the website, basically apologizing for the game being less than what they really wanted it to be on release, and reassured people, and took two paragraphs to do so, that they're working on fixing those things and naming a couple of them by name. And then they also did their here's how we're going to make it up to you, where they announced that the first DLC pack that was planned for the game is now going to be free for everybody who got the game.
Yep, so, eat that.
If you purchase this season's pass to get that DLC, you will get the DLC and you'll get it for free. For people that did do the season's pass, they're also going to give them a choice of an additional game from a selection of titles for free. And I haven't looked at what those are yet, but, you know, I think that it's nice to own that, hey, this wasn't the way it was supposed to be, and we're sorry about that. Here's how we're fixing it. Know that these fixes are coming. I think that it shows a lot of appreciation for people that have spent money to be like, look, this is how we're going to make it up for those people who didn't get the season pass. Probably, in all honesty, because they saw about, read about, or experienced a lot of these issues themselves, we're going to give you that content, which is big for free. For those of you who got the season's pass, so you don't feel slighted, we're going to give you something of equal value for free. I think that is really cool. But I don't think that they've yet said...
they're probably trying to figure out what
nope,
they...
Nope, I take that back. If you did the season's pass purchase, you're going to be able to get either the crew, Far Cry, let me rephrase that. If you purchase the season's pass or Assassin's Creed Unity Gold Edition, which gives you the season's pass, you'll be able to get either the crew, Far Cry 4, Watch Dogs, Assassin's Black Flag, Rayman Legends.
So any other Ubi game.
Or Just Dance 15. Not any other game. One of these these ones one of these titles. I think it's huge that they put Far Cry 4 on that list.
Have you? I'm surprised you're not even thinking about playing Far Cry 4.
It's a massive download. Massive. And right now...
Because you loved Far Cry 3.
I know. I couldn't get past the fucking weed mission. And somebody was going to help me with that, but then they abandoned me. But whatever. So I didn't finish
Far Cry 3. I will remember you.
You abandoned me on, like, a bunch of games. You realize that, right? Like, a bunch.
I know.
You abandoned me on Bulletstorm.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
When?
You finished it with somebody else.
Oh,
Yeah. But I've gone back and forth on Far Cry. I'm very interested in the game. However, it's a massive download. And I think that I do want to play it on the Xbox. So until I have the storage so I can do it digitally, I don't think I'm going to jump in on it yet. Okay. I've seen a couple of really awesome things said about it. Some of my journalist friends have put out some really positive things about the game, but there are also some things that are broken in Far Cry. So I'm kind of like looking at holiday right now with some of the games that I've put on back burner going, you know what, it's actually really smart that I've put them on back burner because there's a lot of games.
There's stuff going on.
That I think were probably pushed a little bit early to make sure they could make it for holiday, but they weren't ready for holiday.
Got it.
I feel like if Unity had been coming out in January instead of October, it would have been solid.
Perhaps.
I think that if Destiny had another month, if it had come out a month later, I think it would have been rock solid. Because Destiny had issues starting up. I mean, how many times did you get kicked to orbit the first time you tried to play?
It reminds me of my time with GTAO on launch. It burns my mental cookies.
It burns your mental cookies.
It makes the paint in my mind walls peel. Aww. Even after I put the top coat on. It is not a place I like to delve in my emotions. I got very angry. It was the blindest, driest rage. Like a desert of rage.
Desert of rage!
Desert of rage, too.
And,
Rageonomics. Yeah.
Alright, so the other thing that I want to talk about this week, because it's not just Destiny updates and Unity updates for me, although... Whenever there is a Destiny update or a Unity update or news on either of them, yeah, I'm going to talk about
it. Yeah, we're going to hear it.
You're going to hear it.
Your mouth is going to open and then
that... It's going to come... It's just going to come right out of there. So
it's going to ebb and flow like the ocean.
It's
going to
happen. Just accept it into your life. But, like I said, I was catching up on my backlog a little bit.
Okay.
Had some mobile games that I played, so you'll actually read about one of them in my holiday gift guide contribution, which is coming shortly. But I've also been catching up on anime.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, what better thing to do when you have days off, like Thanksgiving, to do a marathon of anime? Some people watch football. I caught up on anime.
I do.
So I was looking back at a couple of recommendations that some of our other team members have made. Both Vicious and KBD are real up on anime and manga. And so I was looking back through some of their recommendations and some of the new announcements of things for this season.
Right.
And one of the ones that I picked up was on one called Chaika the Coffin Princess.
Okay. Yes, I saw that one.
And so I was looking for a series that I could really, like, dive into a marathon hard. I really didn't want... No, seriously. I didn't want something that was just running and only had, like, 6 episodes out, because I was looking for a good marathon, because I was off on Thanksgiving. So I wanted something that had, like, at least an arc, if not 2.
Okay.
And Chaika has 1 full season and is currently in, I think, like, up to episode... either 7 or 8 on second season. So it was a perfect run. And the style definitely grabbed me because it definitely has a lowly theme going on because the heroine is a lowly type girl, but a sweet lolly and okay. Not a
Sunundre, whatever they call
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, Sunundre or whatever. She's super, super sweet. She doesn't have any negativity going on. The way that Chaika is set up is that you first meet her, and as she bumps into this guy who's hunting in the woods, and the guy is named Toru. Very super slim. His character design kind of reminds me of Kirito from Sword Art.
Okay.
Short hair, very slender, wearing a lot of hunting gear. He's got two blades that he carries that are short blades. So you know that he's definitely got some type of military training, but you don't know why.
What?
And right. He's talking about, you know, how if he doesn't find more food soon, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. And this girl pops up, and she's got purple eyes, long white hair, wearing a mostly white, loli-style dress.
Right.
And she sees him, and she freaks out, and she tries to hide. She thinks she's running away from him. She actually just runs in a circle from him and ends up on the other side of him. But what's really super weird about her is that even though she's small-looking, like, as far as, like, actual age, she probably looks like she's maybe 11 or 12.
And I bet she's, like, 18 or 16.
They don't really get into that. But she's carrying...
She's barely legal.
She's carrying a massive coffin on her back.
Okay.
And it's like, how does one that small carry a coffin that big? But whatever. And so they start speaking, and she
Sunday
speaks,
without God.
Yes. But we then kind of learn why she's able to do it.
Right.
All right. We haven't learned why yet this girl's able to do it, because at this point we're only, like, a minute into the anime.
Okay.
Okay. But she starts speaking, and she speaks in broken sentences.
Okay.
So everything is short staccato. She doesn't formulate a full sentence. It's the key points of the sentence that she shares.
Okay.
So she'll say things like, oh, food, grateful. Like, and they're all just staccato sentences. And no one seems to think that there's anything wrong with that.
There's clearly something wrong with that.
Okay. So all of a sudden, a unicorn appears. And not a happy, magical unicorn. It's an evil zombie, I'm about to kill you unicorn. Evidently, unicorns and all Fela that are in the land that these guys live in, yeah. Deadly.
Okay.
Want to eat the humans? You have to run. So he grabs her hand, they start running, she's trying to figure out why. They end up having to jump off of a cliff, they land in the water on her coffin. They wash up on the shore. He ends up with a cut on his arm. She tries to heal it.
Wait, she's got healing properties or she's bandaging
it? No, she's trying to bandage
okay.
it.
Okay. I was like,
Toru, like, collapses all, like, hipster depressed, like, is like, we're gonna die here. Because that unicorn is gonna come and find us because he can smell us and we're gonna die. And this is how I'm gonna die. With no food, with this really young girl. She is kind of cute, but, who can't do anything, and I'm just gonna die because I had to go and, like, try to be a hero, whatever. And so he's saying this out loud. She's like, really, we're gonna die? And he's like, probably, because the unicorn's gonna come get us any minute. And so she's like, okay. So she opens up her coffin, takes this hidden panel out, and has a massive fucking sniper rifle in the top of the case. And he's like, so that's what you were carrying? Wait, you're a wizard? And she's like, yeah, kinda. But she's like, but I need time. Stall. So he's like, okay, fine. So she's putting her gun together because she then has to do an incantation because her gun, or gundo in this series, which is your magic apparatus vehicle.
Oh, kind vessel. Of like in Trinity Seven.
Yes.
And also kind of like in Kamiga Kill. Everyone has like their...
Everybody has a vessel. Okay. She's working hers up together. Turns out that Toru is a saboteur, and all saboteurs are able to basically do a incantation on themselves where they become the Iron Blood. They physically turn red, their eyes turn red, they get markings on their face, their hair turns red, and it's basically like Super Saiyan level.
Ha!
Yeah, exactly. So he goes all Super Saiyan to try and distract the unicorn so she can get her shot off. She does. Splits the unicorn right up the middle.
Oh.
Toru falls in the water, comes back out, and she's like, okay, I'll buy breakfast. He's like, I saved your life, so the least you can do is buy me breakfast. So they go into town. He's eaten like 8 plates of food, and she's like, wow, appetite, impressive. And then Akari shows up. Akari is Toru's, I'm going to do air quotes here, sister. She gets very, very upset when any female is near.
Oh, she's got a little brother. She's got an Oni-sama complex.
Oh, yeah, no, she's like, I'm going to kill you now. Because she is also a saboteur. They're partners. And she's like, I have to kill you now because you're cheating on me. I've been waiting for you to bring food, and instead of you bringing me food, here you are in this restaurant eating food with this gorgeous woman over here. Am I not enough for you? As she then swings her axe at his head and destroys basically the restaurant before everybody calms down. Chaika pays for the food, pays for the destruction. Toru gets cussed out by the tavern owner for making the young girl pay for all of his stuff and being horrible, horrible to his girlfriend, at which point he's like, not my girlfriend, my sister. Long story short, Akari is actually not a blood sister. They're just both part of the same clan, and they grow up together. They call each other brother and sister, but they're not blood relations. So Akari wanting to bone him and constantly trying to figure out ways to work in different scenarios that they have to go through to end up with him being naked, halfly clothed, and things like that are actually not pervy.
Okay.
All right. So there's actually no incest.
I wasn't worried.
To this point. I was. And then three episodes in, they're like, she's not really my sister. We're not blood people. It's all right. Okay. So the story goes that Chaika is the daughter of the former emperor of the Gaz Empire. The Gaz Empire was ridiculously, ridiculously technologically advanced because they are in a somewhat fantasy time period. So people travel mostly by horse. If you have a vehicle that can travel, it's powered by magic, so there are very few people that can use them. It's primarily horse travel and things like that. So very much in that kind of a fantasy, slightly futurist medieval period.
Got it.
Okay. So there's kings and empires and all this stuff. Somehow, Arthur Gaz, the emperor of the Gaz Empire, was somehow able to live for 500 years.
Oh, I wonder how he did that.
And,
magic?
Yeah, he was evidently some amazing wizard. And the thing that was difficult about him was there's not a lot of known history about him. Like, all documents pertaining to him somehow magically disappeared.
Somebody burnt the tapes!
But he was evidently some kind of, towards the end, tyrannical ruler, because 8 heroes rose up, stormed the empire, and killed him. And by killing him, I don't mean just stab him, because they all did stab him.
But they take a piece of his body?
Yes.
Ooh! Ooh!
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not talking like a big chunk. He was dismantled. And
I haven't even seen the series. How would I have known that?
His remains were scattered around.
Is she going around trying to assemble
Chaika
them back?
Chaika is trying to get all of
his pieces,
the remains,
and put them in the coffin that can possibly resurrect
him. She wants to give him a funeral. Okay. That's her main goal. She just wants to get the remains to get the funeral. So off they go. She ends up hiring these saboteurs, which their guide is they follow their master blindly until those desires are met, no matter what. That's what they do. Unlike mercenaries, they're not swayed by offers from other people. And so if that was just the end of the story, it'd be a decent, like, anime story. So we're off to get the remains and hopefully bury your father. And
we're off to get the remains to bury your dad.
You know, and there's going to be people that pop up that obviously have them, that we have to fight them for, which doesn't it be done. Where Chaika goes a little bit differently with that is that after, like, the third or fourth episode, you run into another Chaika. She wears all red. She, too, speaks in broken sentences, but she has a snake blade like Ivy.
Okay.
And she wants the remains, but not to bury her father. She wants to get revenge on all of the heroes that killed him.
So now that makes me think that maybe through her grief of what happened, split herself. So there might be...
Well, I thought thought that too, until later on in the episode, like, you see this mark around her neck, and in a further episode down the road, you find out that part of the reason why two of the heroes freaked out when they saw Chaika is because...
They killed her?
Yeah, chopped her head off. So, like, how are you alive? Because chopped your head off. When we killed your dad and chopped his head off. Your head came off. Your head came off.
Got it.
So, you should be dead. And then, as you continue go on...
No, wait, did both of the Chakas that you've met...
Chaikas.
Did they both have the same mark?
On their neck?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's not just both the Chaikas that you meet. As you go further on in the series, there are more. And they all have distinct colors that they identify. And what's really interesting is that you get deeper in the series, there's actually a girl that you see become a Chaika. And so there's a whole underlying thing of, like, are you a real person? Are those really your memories? Are they not your memories? Were you made in a lab?
Because I'm trying to assume, and I'm usually pretty good at this. So I would want to assume that through her father, who was like an amazing wizard, but could live for like 500 years, he must have been tampering with some very dark magic. And who's to say that he didn't do something to his bloodline? Because you said she's a wizard, kind of, sort of. Is that something she might have inherited through his bloodline? Which is why she has
that's the ability? A possibility. There, again, because so little is known about the Empire and known about this guy, there's a group that works for the Council of Six, which is now the ruling body of the world. Because once the Emperor of Gaz was destroyed, the world became peaceful again. So they want to bring war back. But they're not exactly sure how. What is known is that he was a very powerful wizard. Somehow, the Empire of Gaz, which has completely been obliterated and doesn't exist anymore, its people scattered to the winds, had all kinds of crazy technology that the rest of the world is really just getting an understanding.
Like, maybe one of these Chaikas is the original.
It's a possibility. One of the theories that was floated out there is that, you know, do we really know that the Emperor actually had a daughter? Because there's no record of him ever having an Empress. And no one but the heroes that killed the Emperor ever saw his daughter. And so is it possible that they're all manufactured?
Right. And maybe he couldn't have children, so he had the
maid.
Well,
maybe he factioned off something of himself somehow to make all of these Chaikas.
Oh, they're Horcruxes!
Possible Horcruxes. That's a thought. There's also the... He could have just bedded a whole bunch of women, and
But do they
ensure,
all look exactly the same, right? Outside of their color?
And outside of the color that they wear.
Okay.
Not necessarily their hair.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's the whole one girl that you see go from being herself to literally becoming a Chaika. Her hair, as she has this breakdown, her hair starts turning white and her eyes turn purple. So it's like there's something that is
that
within the DNA of a girl to turn her into a Chaika. And they all are driven to get the remains, but ultimately their reason for getting the remains
are all different.
Some of them are more sadistic. Some of them have chosen not to be Chaika. Some of them can speak perfectly fine sentence structure, and some of them speak in the chopped staccato. So it's very interesting because you have these two levels of story that you're trying to unravel. The what is her history, and is Chaika really real, and is the one that is the protagonist of the story really real?
Right.
If Chaika is real at all. And then two, what the hell happened with the Gaz Empire and this emperor? Because, like, at one point there's an episode where they have to find this island that's completely masked by magic. And you get on it, and it's completely filled with chimeras and phala that are being mass-produced to be this army that... There's this amazing weapon that's been waiting for Chaika, and one Chaika awakens it, but then down the road another Chaika takes it. But then another Chaika tries to use it, and it's like, there's so many levels going on.
Too many Chaikas, too many Chaikas.
That in a 22-minute anime, it's really kind of surprising that there's this deep level thing going on.
Okay.
And this kind of searching for self thing, which is the underlying writer, which is a pretty deep thing for an anime.
Yes.
That's buttoned in this very, very super adorable looking character, because you feel for all of them. Even the ones that are sadistic.
Right.
You feel for them.
Well, I mean, you kind of got that, you felt for the girls in Elfin Lied.
Yes. And that's even kind of
in that kind of the vein, even the more sadistic one, like, there was a reason, and a reason was so you could understand where that came from.
Yeah, and you can do so that
you
with
you can
this
sympathize
series.
Or you can empathize.
Yeah. So it's really, really good. I you know,
I've seen it a couple times that shows up.
You want to watch it. The first arc is really good, and that it'll make you want to marathon very quickly through the second. And the fact that you can't do the whole story because there's still, I think, 3 episodes
well,
left
currently,
to come.
Right now, I'm sitting on bated breath for the last episode of Akame ga Kill.
Yeah.
And I finally got through, and now I'm current with Parasite the Maxim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, ooh.
Oop.
And I watched the latest episode, and the Biffle came in, because when I first watched the first 2 episodes, he was there with me, and he was like, I might watch this with my anime club. I'm like, it's really good. My sister was absolutely right. This is really good. You should watch it. And then when he came home the other day, I was on episode, I think it's up to like 7 or 8 now, mm-hmm. and I was on the last one. He's like, you watched it without me? I'm like, you didn't tell me this was going to be a group thing. I'm like, I'm doing me.
Yep.
You want me to leave so you can watch episode 3? I'll go, bye.
I'll rewatch it. It's all good.
He's all, no. And I'm like, it's good. It's very good. You are absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Parasite's really good. I'm all caught up on that. I also just...
I feel like that one's going to slap us with some psychos, some
yeah,
philosophicalness.
Yeah, it's going to get real philosophical here at the end, which is good. I like
me
deeper
too.
Ones, you know, when it's not...
Right.
No, true. Like, I like Saccharine, but I really enjoy anime series that have... a really good story that they want to tell, or they're positioning a plot line to make you think.
Right.
I really enjoy those. Those tend to be more so on the thriller line and the suspense line, and I'm fine with that. You know, Akame ga, I would put in...
Oh, man.
In that box.
That one?
You know, Kill la Kill, I put in kind of that Saccharine box. It's got a shit ton of action going on in it. And there is a little bit of a serious line in it, but for the most part, it's just over the top, knock 'em sock 'em with Saccharine, and that works for me too. But Akame ga I would put in this box, Parasite I would put in this box. I would also put the Fruit of Grisaia, and I would also put Trinity 7 in that box as well, because Trinity is now starting to trend toward a very serious line.
Okay.
In its story, but it's still very packaged very cute.
Okay.
Which I enjoy. And then the last one that I marathon through, and I'm not going to talk about in detail on this podcast because we're running short on time, but trust me, it's coming. I just marathon through kind of like my palate cleanser for this, which is... The Wolf Girl and the Black Prince.
I kept debating whether or not
you
wanna I
watch
was
it.
Get into it.
You want to watch it?
Another watch series it. That I will also recommend that people watch on the Crunchyroll side. It's not an anime. It's a drama that's based off of a manga called Switch Girl.
Okay.
Where the premise is the main character, Nika, at school is this model student, or at least looks. She's the most popular. She's very pretty. She's very trendy. And that's when she's at school. And when she's at home, she turns off this switch. And she kind of becomes like an old man. Like, wears really baggy clothes. Like, she wears the skanky panties.
Aww.
She puts her hair up in, like, the dookie braids. And, like, she, like, drinks from cans. Like, she becomes gross.
Okay.
Like, utterly gross. And she's got a best friend who knows her secret. Because when she's out in public, she turns herself on. Her and her sister do it. And they have, like, a fat mom. And, like, they hide that... all that stuff from the outside world. And one day she is on the roof with her friend and, like, she's giggling with her and, like, they're eating and she, like, farts on her friend. Like, she farts all the time and, like, show, like, the animation of, like, a poop coming out of her butt. And I'm like, whoa, Japan. But anyway, and they're on the roof and, like, they're giggling and she farts on her friend and her friend's like, ew, that's totally gross. And then she's like, there's somebody here and there's a dude on the roof. And I'm like, from where they're sitting, she would have seen him way before now, but whatever. And he's, like, sitting over the side, and he's got his emo look, and he looks really, really hot. And she's like, he's super handsome. And, like, she thought she could, like, you know, turn it on and, like, get him to, like her. And he's all like, you're so annoying. And, like, she can't understand why it didn't work. And then when she sees him later, he's wearing these big, thick, nerdy glasses, and, like, people don't acknowledge him. And she's like, this is weird. And she finds out he's in the same apartment complex that she's in. And she was like, well, he'll never see me, you know, when I have my off switch, because, like, I never leave my apartment when I get there. And her mom's like, I forgot the cucumbers for dinner. I need you to go out. So she goes out as her old wrinkly, you know, crap self to a thing, and she sees the guy. And as he walks by, he goes, oh, you're the girl from the roof. Now, mind you, they look completely different, so he's able to recognize that it's the same person. And she's like, you can't tell anybody my secret, and blah, 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 blah. And he's just like, I'm just getting food. Like, I'm not even trying to bother with this. Do whatever you're gonna do. And she's like, why are you so dark and dizzy? Like, she wants to figure everything out. And he's just like, I wear these glasses so that people don't pay attention to me because I'm very attractive. And modest. Very modest.
Obviously.
And so it's like this unlikely pairing that happens to work. And there's only 8 episodes until the second season, and I'm just about to hit the last episode of the first season, and it's super funny, and their pacing is very much like an anime, which they don't often do in J-dramas and K-dramas. Like, they tend to have a different layering level of exposition, but they don't tend to do like crazy, crazy cutscenes or a lot of animation. Like,
unless they're playing it's up based on them. Off of a light novel or an manga,
which is what they're doing in this. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of highly stylized stuff. There's a lot of cuts. There's a lot of transitions that are very anime manga esque. So, like, it's cute, and I'm like, any girl who's willing to fake fart on a camera totally gets my vote. So check it out here.
Well, there you go. I mean, because you gotta have some balls in order to fake fart on the camera. Or just be Pandalicious.
Or be me.
Whatever. Any way that you want to slice it, it's all good. So there you have it. That's this week's podcast in a nutshell. All over the place random, but really, would you expect anything else from us?
No.
I don't think so.
Clearly not.
So make sure that if you want to listen to other podcasts just like this one, that first you go to our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, and grab the podcast there. You can also get it in iTunes, either on your desktop or on the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. We're also in the Microsoft Store. We're also on Stitcher Radio, and we're also on VogNetwork.com. So pretty much, if it's on the internet, or if you're on the internet,
I'm on the internet,
you can get a hold of our podcast.
Yay!
Make sure that you do that. Subscribe and get it every week when we put it out on Monday. You can also check out the things that we're writing about. Reviews from the entirety of the team can be found at our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Make sure that you subscribe to that page so that way the moment we put out new content, you can read it. You can share it on your socials. We'd be mighty, mighty happy if you did. And then you can also check out some of the great shows from our network. Like I said, typically our new podcasts go live on Monday. But on Tuesday, if you like anything indie, I'm talking movies, music, TV, manga, you name it, then you want to check out No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck. On Wednesdays, Beats for Your Feats, Geek Aggro, hosted by Deuces Wild. You want to grab a hold of that. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live, share your issues, talk it out, be part of the YouTube stream. It's all good.
In the hood.
And then for the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, well, you can engage with us on social. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. We're on Twitter, @ESH News, for all the news you can use from around the web. If it's video game, if it's nerdy, we're sharing it on our socials. So make sure that you follow us, because we're worth following.
Aww.
Yeah. Just don't follow us off a bridge, because...
Whee!
You're not a lemming. You're better than that. So as always, I turn to my sister and I say, hey, yo, sis.
Yeah?
What shit you did?
Pizza!
How did I know it was going to be pizza? Are you a fucking Ninja Turtle?
Yes.
Oh, well, that would explain.
Donatello.
You know, I should have known.
I live the Viva Donatello.
There you go. There.
What shit you digging this week?
Cloud storage. Because
if not it ain't... pizza?
No, not pizza. You already said pizza. Cloud storage. Because I like backing things up to the cloud.
Back it up. because my hard drive told me to.
And with that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Vandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Bye!